Hello, this is the Pacifica National Board's Finance Committee meeting of October 27th, 2020. My name is James Sagerton. I'm the chair, and I believe we've reached quorum. Will the secretary call the roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams, Teresa J. Allen, Nick Arena.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Here.
Chris Corey. Dwayne Lark. R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Sims.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. Polina Vasiliev.
Here.
Okay, that is six.
Very good. Well, hopefully some of the others will join us.
Some say they're coming in late, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we need to move to the agenda.
Mr. Chair, this is Polina.
Yes, Polina. No problem.
I'm trying to just make sure that we're streaming. And on my end, the file's not opening up, but maybe it's just me.
Hold on a second. My control panel shows the stream is live, and I'm also hearing it on my audio player. So, as far as I can tell, we are live.
Wonderful, great, then it must be, we're streaming. Thank you.
Oh, you see it now, Polina, that's good. So it's nice to have you keeping an eye on it.
I still can, but I think it's my proxy and firewall settings, so it should be.
Oh.
Hopefully all the people listening should be fine.
Well, we appreciate you keeping an eye on it.
Also,
yes, Fred?
Also, a little technical point for the audience. There is a time delay of about 20 seconds between our live conference and the stream.
Oh. Did not know that. Good to know. All right. Let me read the agenda. We'll have a motion. I'll move to approve the agenda, and I'll go ahead and read it, and then we can see if we want to approve it. Okay, convene the meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We did that. Roll call. We did that. Adopt the agenda. We're doing that. The chair's announcements, 2 minutes. ICFO report from Anita Sims. September financials, including cash flow and national office payroll and cash flow. 15 minutes report, 30 minutes question and answer. Number 6, Central Services Formula, 30 minutes. Number 7, the Interim Executive Director Report, Lydia Brazon, 15 minutes report, 15 minutes Q&A. That will be dependent on whether Lydia joins us. Number 8, reports from the stations on their budget timeline progress, starting where we left off last time, I believe with KPFT. And number 9 is old business. And there was a motion for a moratorium on central services from KPFT. And number 10 is new business. And number 11 is adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. And there's a little bit of cushion built in here because we have at least one person who may or may not be here. And the central services formula discussion would benefit greatly by Chris Corey's presence, and he will not be joining us tonight. So, I'm going to move to approve that agenda. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we can go ahead then. I'm going to go quickly to the chair's announcements. IED Lydia Brazon may be joining us tonight, depending on the status of other Pacifica business on which she is working. If she joins us, we may interrupt whatever agenda item we are on to accommodate her in giving us a report. Chris Corey, as I already said, will be unable to join us tonight. And those are the announcements. So, I think we can get right to the main business of item 5, which is the ICFO report. And I hope everyone has a chance to look at them. It's not particularly good, and Anita hopefully now can further explain. Anita?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Excuse me. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to look at the area that each one of you represent. But the net loss through year-to-date through September is $847,000 versus $235,000 net loss prior year as of last September. So it's an overall decrease in income of about $612,000. Again, if I may, I'd like to perhaps talk slower if I can. I'm a Southerner. I can't help it. But essentially go through, and I have the spreadsheet in front of me, so what I wanted to kind of talk about is each station, if I may.
Yes, please.
Hopefully you would find that good, informative. So I'm looking at KPFA right now and just point out some items. They ended the year in the black by about $3,000. But last year, at the same time, they were at $388,000, in the black. So if I move off to look at how revenue compared, they were down 9% in revenue from prior year. Again, if you're following this with me, that is line 19, column AS, if you will. Is year-to-date actual, and the next column is year-to-date, prior year-to-date. So listener support was down about 24% or $492,000, up from prior year, which was good. We all know that major donors is down. Prior year was $987,000. This year was $221,000. Also, donations, that one is over. It's what, $630,000 versus $387,000. So, again, the bottom line on revenue is a decrease in revenue of 9%. Total operating expenses, I started to look through them to see what was the difference. It's a $24,000 swing, so it's not major, it's 1%. But their expenses are a little bit more than they were prior year. Again, net loss of gain of $3,000, but last year was $388,000. Any questions off of that? Hearing none, we'll go
no,
to...
No, I don't have any.
Okay.
Thank you. Go ahead, yeah.
We'll go to KPFK, if I may. Bottom line, I usually like to start there. That's line 37, net income loss. They ended the year at $700,520 loss versus prior year of $129,000. The majority of it is all in revenue. When you look at listener support, year-to-date actual is $2,108,000. Prior year was $2,505,000. So it's about a $400,000 swing. Also in major donors, prior year $470,000. And year-to-date of September 30th, 2020 is only
$67,000. Wow. Excuse me.
So it's a big difference. So they ended in total revenue at $2,787,000 versus $3,693,000 prior year. So it's a $905,000 swing, or a 25% reduction, if you will, decline in income. Expenses, they did good. They're about $329,000 lower than they were at the same time last year. And primarily there's expenses, as I said that, I realize that the difference is in development expenses of about $132,000. Some in salaries and board expenses, there was none. So I guess that accounts for the majority of the reduction in expenses. Any questions off of that?
Oh, I just want to say this is Sharon, and I'm on the call now. I don't have any questions, but I'm here.
Thank you, Sharon. Moving on to KPFT. Again, if you look at net income or loss, line 34, they actually are trending fairly well. They're showing a loss of $30,000 with a prior year-to-date loss of $115,000. So when you look in revenue, the decline or $84,000, majority of it is in listener support, down from prior year. This year it ended at $617,000. Prior year was $701,000. A net difference of $104,000 less than prior year in revenue, or 13%. Expenses, though, were down, which is good. And again, board expenses were down, and administration, I probably need to go further down to point out some of the variances there, but expenses ended the year $576,000 versus prior year of $665,000. So 25% reduction there in expenses from one year to the next. And if I may, I will look very quickly what might be causing or what the difference is in the expense line from prior year in development.
Please do.
Yeah, it does seem to be in postage. Again, I can't tell you why, but there is a reduction in prior year between printing and marketing. And a premium from other vendors, about $35,000 swing there. Overall. Any questions off of that?
Anita, I did have a question, but it's not for this. I had a question that I just came to me for KPFA.
Okay.
I was wondering, I had understood previously that for, as of, was it August? At the end of August, in two of the past 3 months, they were trending down. How did they do in September? Was that another month of an overall loss, or did they come back up?
No, loss in September of $54,000.
Thank you.
So, I mean, the overall was a gain of, but only of $3,000 in comparison to prior year.
Yeah, I did get that. Thank you.
You're welcome. If we move over to WBAI, they are under about $161,000. It all seems, the majority of it was a major donor, $213,000, and then listener support was down about $113,000 there. Overall swing or reduction, because they ended at $1,343,000, but prior year was $1,005,000, so about 11% down from prior year. Their expenses also are down. It seems to be the majority of it in personnel costs and in board expenses. About a $211,000 reduction. They ended the year at $1,403,000. Prior year was $1,614,000. So for WBAI, the net income or loss was $313,083 year to date from prior year of $363,000. So actually they improved on the loss by about $50,000 from prior year. Any questions?
Arpal? Arpal for a question?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay. Let me get back to that. I've got so much open here. Okay, first of all, I am noticing that we have various lines under revenue that have, like, just zero in them, or, you know, for FY20. We have major donor for a total of $10,600, which I think sounds about right. The general manager talked about that. But I'm wondering if what we're seeing here is something we've seen in the past where a lot of revenue just gets thrown into listener support. And, you know, so it kind of makes it look as if listener support is healthier than it really is, and everything else that has revenue attached to it is less healthy than it really is. Also, I think there's an issue at some point. At some point, when we get back to the Corporation for Public Broadcast, the CPB, is going to want to see our listener support numbers. And if they look at this, they're going to wonder if we're pumping them up because we've put so much stuff in there. I mean, I think anybody looking at this will have the same reaction I'm having. So,
I frankly don't disagree with you. I would love to see revenue numbers, but we don't. What we're seeing is deposits that go in that because the station is coding that revenue, as they should, the funds go to the station. But if you see what I'm saying, we don't get anything that is support that justifies that revenue, if you will, just yet. But maybe that's for this coming year to work on that with the stations. Because what we'd like to see, especially for those on Allegiance, is there is reports because that is a product that we are familiar with that we could look at. It could run a report comparing, even if it was just for the month-to-date or the monthly entry. And then we could, quite frankly, tie it to cash that was received for the month on the GO side.
Okay. Yes, there are savings in personnel, which we've explained in the past, so there's that. And I think that is the major expense saving.
Yes.
I don't know what total board expenses of $750 in October was, and I guess I have to find out about that. And then there was something else that I was looking at. All right, so our total is, we're going to be, oh gosh, I got the wrong thing up again. The total is, we're about 50 grand better than last year, but
yes,
we're really at a $313,000 deficit for FY20, right?
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, this is the chair, Anita. I just want to say that I think that board expense, our Paul, couldn't that be? That sounds like possibly rent for the October. I'm trying to remember. Did we do? Could that be rent for the October board meeting?
$750 for one meeting?
For the rent for the facility.
I don't. $750 for one meeting? I don't. That would I would be very shocked to see that for one meeting. Now, if it's only a whole year, yeah, okay, I could see that because we have to rent places. But one night, $750, I would be very amazed at that. Plus, we met. This only shows October, and that's October of
19.
Yeah, October 2019. We didn't start meeting by telephone until the pandemic hit, and that was March. So October through February, October 2019 through February 2020, we had meetings. And the YWCA, we had meetings. So I know that we had some weeks. Oh, my God, I'm tangled up in a wire. We had some months there of paying for it, and I don't know. I'm wondering if, again, something is getting lumped here, and that's not necessarily a good way to keep track of things. And does the interim CFO know about if it's lumped or who done it or what?
I think it's just one entry. I'm sending Bertal and Tamara a question on it. Maybe they can. One of them can get back to me.
Okay.
I want to add one other thing. I did have a meeting today with the general manager and his IT person, and the program director was there, and they are working on a rollout for the Allegiance rather. Software, they don't want to announce a date yet because they don't want to raise anticipation and then not fulfill it. But, that's coming soon. So hopefully you'll have those kinds of breakdowns in the future.
That'd be great. But, I'm hoping that we can get it for all the stations, because that's the only way to be able to verify, you know, the coding of it.
Right.
And the dollars. Moving into WPFW, they ended the year at $110,498 deficit, but prior year they were at $270,590, so quite an improvement by about $160,000. Still a loss, but better than last year. If we look at their revenue, listener support is up from prior year by about $102,000. So they ended the year at $1,307,000 versus $1,205,000 prior year. So that's good. They also had major donor of $88,757 versus $11,000 prior year. Again, the year-to-date total revenue, $1,396,000 versus $1,225,000. So, again, a 14% increase or $171,000 better than they did last year in revenue. When you look at the expenses, they also increased a little bit, about $11,000. Again, not on salaries, but it appears to be primarily in administrative expenses, about $53,000. So if you bear with me, I did not make myself a note on that. But it seems to be consultants and temps, or some of the increase is there, about $21,000. And office rent, about $4,800. I mean, it's really all over the place, and also on telephone expense, that $17,000. I'll review that deeper so I can report back. But again, improvement, and really no other station had that significant improvement over prior year, even though it was still a loss. Any other questions?
You want to...
This is Sharon.
Go ahead, Sharon.
I just wanted to... I missed the KPFA part, but I checked with Maria on a couple of things that kind of stood out to me. And just looking at the KPFA, line... I believe what happened is line 16 and line 17 are labeled incorrectly. So right now line 16 says grant income, but I think that's supposed to be craft fair income because we would get $25,000 from the craft fair. So I think those two lines, just the labeling got mixed up on those two.
Okay.
And so I think line 17 should be grant income.
Okay, I'll make sure they are switched.
Jane.
And so I wanted to just, excuse me, but just to finish. So, and I did ask Maria about the increase in personnel costs, and what happened was, there's, I know it's the coding. I believe the monies are accounted for. I think it's just the coding like you were talking about, Anita. But KPFA did get a $90,000 grant, which isn't shown just in that line, but in terms of the salary and personnel increase, that $90,000 grant was actually used for salary. That's what it was for. It was for payment of a person to do a particular programming. So that grant came in, and then it was used for most of that salary increase that's shown for KPFA.
Wasn't that grant $180,000, though?
I believe the grant for fiscal year, the one we're in currently, was $90,000. But
okay.
That's what Maria told me, but maybe check with her.
I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, James, this is Nick Arena for the...
Go ahead, Nick.
So, just a...
Were you done, Sharon? Sharon, were you done?
Yes, I was done.
Thank you. Go ahead, Nick.
So, Anita, thank you. Just for increased costs, a couple things to just note. The telephone expense was up due to the fact that we've had to move to 100% usage of a service to collect donations during pledge drive when we were only using them in a very modest way in previous year. And then also because of COVID, we had to limit the amount of volunteers in the station, which caused an increase in the consultant fees. And then lastly, one of the ticks and costs for us was the that one-time CPB payback that we had to make in 2020 that was not budgeted for, but each station had to allocate for that CPB payback. So it would be a tick up in expenses, not only for PSW, but I'm sure it's an unbudgeted item for all the other stations.
Correct. Thank you, Nick.
This is Bolina. She was talking.
Let me see if Nick was done. Are you done, Nick?
Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you, Anita. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Go ahead, Paulina.
I'm looking at some information that our local KPFK Finance Committee Chair forwarded, I believe, Friday. And I don't know if this information has reached Anita. I believe it's a couple of adjustments to a few line items that had been previously incorrectly, or one line item that had been incorrectly booked, which was Grant Income, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe Fred could speak to that. I'm just wanting to make sure that this there's been proper communication between all parts.
Polina, are you? Fred here. Polina, are you talking are you talking about the email that Kim sent out this afternoon? I think that was a private.
That's right.
I think that was a private communication between Kim and Anita. Yesterday.
Yeah. No, Kim sent that to everyone.
Yeah. No. This is public. This is between all. So I'm not talking about anything that could have been private. But hopefully, yeah. If that's not an issue to be concerned over, then
Paulina, could you hold for just a second? Paulina, this is James. Could you hold for just a second? I just want to be sure we're talking about the same thing. Is this the email? It arrived 3 hours ago at 6:08 p.m. Eastern time, and it's got red stuff in red ink
No. I believe it is.
Oh, perhaps.
I thought it was.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case,
I'm pretty sure we are talking about something she made public and not a private communication.
Right.
But if you've got it, it must be public.
I have it.
Okay.
Great. That's all I wanted to know. Okay. Thank you.
So noted, and we'll look into it. But frankly, I did not make the changes because it's not going to change the bottom line. But I will correct. There needs to be for in different categories.
Thank you, Anita.
The only other comment that I wanted to say, I failed to say this in the beginning, it really means that total revenue overall on the consolidated level dropped about $1.8 million from prior year. Pacifica ended last year at 12.4. It's at 10.6 this year. Expenses, though, did drop. Last year it was 12.7. This year is 11.4. So also a decrease of about $1.2 million or 10% in expenses.
Wow.
Anita, would you... I want to ask you to go on and talk about the situation at the national office, especially the payroll, which I was very gratified to see, I guess, just minutes after our conversation about that, which was kind of dire. You worked out a solution. But before we get off of the report on the stations, do you have any words of wisdom for us about this situation?
Well,
I mean, we almost had a crash. We almost didn't make payroll at the national office.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I don't know what the balance is, but I know it's probably not much. I did send an outstanding accounts payable listing, which probably does not look any different from the last time that I sent. It shows outstanding payables of about $209,000. The majority of that is $139,000 to NETA. That's outstanding. I did check with a couple of stations as far as payroll. The one that I was mostly concerned about making payroll, that is, will be due in a few days, of course, was KPFK. Barry did respond to me. That is all right. But the national office, quite frankly, probably does not have enough to make payroll. We're hoping that we do get a payment from KPFA, whether that's an advance in central services, which we will ask to be able to cover that. And I believe that also KPFK suggested that Mike could make a central services payment depending on when the pledge drive ended. Unfortunately, we're going to need those funds prior, but at least that was encouraging. I don't know how much is in the bank, so to speak, but I do know that they can make payroll, so I'm very happy about that. And also talked with WBAI through email, and he felt that they could also meet payroll this time.
Unbelievable.
But essentially, my words of wisdom, even though if we make payroll, we're almost living from week to week. So, kind of stressful. Be happy to entertain if any of you have any thoughts or what have you. My only plan for the national office, unless if Lydia has something different, if she does come on, is probably to borrow money. Central Services, even though they are caught up, which is KPFA, they could advance some money to the national office.
For staff?
The payroll for this particular, for October 30th. Any questions?
This is Sharon. This is Sharon.
All for staff.
Go ahead, Sharon. Sharon, I heard you first. Go ahead. Sorry, I'm looking for something.
Thanks, Anita. And James. So I have a question, which is, if my understanding is correct, I think what's happening is that the PPP money, is no longer available, and so now Cape Pacifica as a whole is having to actually make payroll, which it basically didn't have to do for quite a few months, thanks to the PPP loan. Is that what is happening, Anita?
Well, I mean, revenue is down, too, so even current. I think I received something from Aniel earlier today. Give you an example with Pledge Drive. I think their goal is $400,000. And they're doing about $14,000 per day. I know when we were working on their budget originally, it was much higher. So we did, of course, adjust down in the remaining months just to look at it, what have you, to see what they were going to do. But it is down. So it's a combination. Yes, they were propped up with the PPP funds for 2.5 months, I believe, that they did not have to worry about that. But, so, I mean, that no doubt is part of it. That was a good infusion. We're also waiting to see when we can file for forgiveness. Obviously, that's going to be a key also ingredient there that we don't have to pay any of that money back.
Right, but that would just be an additional expense. We still would not be making payroll. And I guess my comment that I would like to make is I did hear you say, of Pacifica as a whole is considering asking KPFA again for an advance. And my comment that I would just like to make is, yes, KPFA has, continued to support Pacifica, of course, for many years, and that is obviously the goal, but it's financially impossible for KPFA to support all of Pacifica. And KPFA can make an advance, maybe this one time. But as you saw from our own numbers, yes, KPFA is still running in a positive balance, but it's not got a lot of extra funds. So we are balancing our books, but we definitely don't have sufficient funds to pay off the debts of the network. And this has been coming for quite a long time. It is not surprising at all. Several stations have been running deficits for years. So I don't know what to say, except it's upsetting from my perspective, and that's my comment.
Understood.
Nick Arena for the staff.
Go ahead, Nick.
What? Mr. Chair, did you hear me ever? R. Paul?
I'm sorry. No, I didn't, R. Paul. I apologize. Do you mind if R. Paul goes, Nick?
Yeah, go ahead, R. Paul.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. First of all, Anita, you'd sent us the narrative Is the narrative something that we can, that covers basically much of what you've said? Is this something that we can publicly send to people and put on the minutes and all that?
Sure.
Okay, good. The other thing is, at the last meeting, you said something that kind of got my attention. You said it looks like we're coming to a tipping point. And, you know, I mean, we all understand the concept of a tipping point. And we, of course, have this these actuals coming in here now. And we can see that things are, you know, not that great. And you've just had this conversation about you're going to have to borrow from KPFA, and KPFA, of course, is not going to be able to support everything. So, regarding your saying that it looks like we're heading into a tipping point, could you explain that a little bit more, and do you have any thoughts about that?
About the tipping point? Well, yeah. Honestly, what I meant... probably from the last meeting that I presented, at that point, you know, we were really borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, so to speak. So, and for me, or whether it's Tamara or myself that do the daily work, you know, when you have to always be, and I've told the business managers, preserve your cash for payroll. Because I think I heard it perhaps on this meeting or maybe from our HR person that it is illegal to not to be able to pay someone, but yet you kept them on. So, I mean, so payroll is essential. We have to make it. We have to pay it somehow. So, I mean, I do have concerns, especially when you look at the revenue numbers on a current basis, if you will, especially if pledge was supposed to be, let's say, at 18,000, but yet you're only making 12, as an example, and your expenses are still running about the same. It is concerning because you can't get ahead. So, I mean, I'm hoping that the EIDL grant that Lydia hopefully will be on that she can report on, that is good news. Because, quite frankly, you need that, hopefully, whatever dollar amount it is. I think at one time I heard it was originally $2 million. It's got to be something substantial like that to help Pacifica to pull out of this.
I can confirm that, yes, the government requires that if you've got any money at all, you have to pay the payroll before anything else, and if you don't do it, the government comes and sees you about
right.
that. I know that because the government's come to see people at one station, or more than one station, over this. So that is true. I'm wondering, though, about regarding tipping point. You know, tipping point usually means something's going to fall. Is there any thought about what to do should a fall happen? Should we hit the real tipping point and things tip? Is there any thought about exactly what to do, any plan, any thought of a plan or anything like that?
Well, I mean, we're on public stream, so I hesitate to really go into a whole lot of detail. Maybe if we were in executive session, I would feel more comfortable. But
okay.
I'll be happy to have a one-to-one with you and James if you like. I have thought about it, and I think I mentioned to James one of my thoughts that we should probably be looking at, and that is in furloughs.
excuse me. I think we're allowed to go into executive session if something comes up that would warrant it. Is that correct, Arpal? And would that be something the committee would want to do briefly?
Well, see, here's the thing. I disagree with apparently a lot of other people in Pacifica. I think we're supposed to give notice to do executive session, but whenever we get to a vote on that. I'm voted down, so I don't know. I mean, you're asking the one guy who has a dissident opinion on the legality of our just whipping into a fast executive session. Also, if we did it right now, we would break up this meeting for people who are listening. So
correct. That's correct.
Maybe
all right,
time.
Well, yeah. Or perhaps we can take up Anita's offer for a one-on-one. She and I already had this conversation, so perhaps I could have it with you later, and Anita can go to bed.
Thank you.
Okay, so Anita, did you was that your conclusion on the subject of the national office?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else that you wish to add or comment on? Is there anything that you see on the horizon that's hopeful? I know at WBAI we know that there's a fully funded bequest coming that's going to help us, and hopefully it'll arrive in time to help the foundation in general. And we know about the EIDL loan. Is there anything else that's on the horizon? Anywhere else that you're aware of?
Nothing that I'm aware of. I really would love to hear about the EIDL grant, because that is meaningful. That is, $2 million would go a long way and it would help this organization tremendously.
Yes. I do hope Lydia can get on the call eventually before we're finished.
Could I ask one small question? Extra.
Of course, Arpal. Please go ahead.
On the monthly income statement through September 30th in consolidated, lines 133 to 146, well, I'm having a hard time seeing. It's all the central services, and of course those are actuals, right? Because they're all negative. Are those the actuals or is that accrued? Some of that accrued?
It's all accrued, probably.
It's all the accrued, okay. And now on line 146, it says central services, and it says $6,110. And I'm wondering what that is.
I don't know, Art Paul, but I'll find out. I see it.
Okay. All right. It's not a big thing, obviously. It's just, whatever.
Yeah, but all your financials are run on an accrual basis, not cash. And if it were cash, then we would mean we were only recording when we paid something. So, but I'll find out about the $6,110.
And the disadvantage of cash accounting in that case would be that we don't see the real picture?
Well, you mean on an accrual basis? Accrual, you will.
Well, accrual, we will, but cash, we might not. I think that's some of our general managers prefer cash accounting, but partly that's because that's the way they operate. When they get the money to make payments, they do. But then you don't see the full picture of what's owed or, what's needed.
Correct.
Thank you.
Accrual basis, we record everything regardless of when it's going to get paid.
Thank you.
Well, what we need is a balance sheet, and that'll help.
Yes, I agree with you.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to say, Anita?
No, sir, I'm finished. Thank
okay,
you.
I think that was a good job. Is there any other question for Anita from anyone? Okay, hearing none, let's move on to number six, which is the central services formula. Chris, who usually leads our discussion on that, is not with us today, but I think it's important that we focus on it because we need to have these figures to figure out the budget, especially for the national office. We need to know what we have to, we need to know how much money we need to raise, and then that will help us figure out what the central services formulas need to be. To this point in time, we've basically decided to focus on using the revenue as the basis for central services,
And I've been waiting to have discussion of making adjustments to the formula for the extraordinary expenses that we have at WBAI for the tower and the rent in New York City for the studio, and also to see if there were any other extraordinary expenses that people might have elsewhere around the network that would justify possibly making adjustments to the formula that we come up with. I think we should plow ahead into this regardless of Chris's absence. Just because the grand strategy is to try and have the budgets in order, as well as having the audits up to date when the big loan starts to come due or comes due, such that we're in a better position to either refinance or to argue for an extension with possibly a reduction in interest. So our part in that is to get our budgets in order, and so we need this central services formula to be hammered out. So having said that, is there any discussion on this? Why don't we perhaps start with the question of whether or not there are any other extraordinary expenses around the network that should be taken into account when creating the central services formula.
Yes, this is Sharon.
Go ahead, Sharon.
I think it's ridiculous to be basing the central services formula on revenue, because it's just another way to go after KPFA. And, you know, Pacifica has been running this financial manner that's inexplicable in so many ways. And there are ways to balance costs, and it doesn't involve taking money from KPFA, and that's what needs to start happening across the network. And people and stations should be paying their fair share, and if they can't, they need to cut expenses.
And were you finished, Sharon? I think I heard your microphone go off if you're using a microphone.
Yes, I'm finished.
Are you finished? Okay. I would ask a question in return, and this is a question we're all going to have to grapple with. When stations get down to a point such as has occurred in Texas, where they're really running on fumes and there doesn't seem to be any place to cut, and I would say the same thing is at WBAI, we're not at that point at KPFK, because they do have room to cut and still be operating. But what is your thinking about what happens at that point?
Well, it's what should have happened back in October, which is that stations should be playing and airing the content from other stations that are perhaps profitable, or at least not losing money, and that can be used to stabilize the stations by laying off the staff or furloughing or whatever needs to happen at those stations. The content can be aired, you know, nationwide, and that saves the expenses. It saves Pacifica, and it doesn't kill Pacifica. Because if you take money from KPFA, the only station that's earning money, you're going to kill Pacifica. How does that work when you just, you know, the only station that's even remotely, profitable, you're just going to say, oh, well, here, there's money, so we'll just take it from there. And then once KPFA starts losing money, what's left? You know, that strategy was quite clear. I understand there's a lot of hard feelings about it, but it was at least a plan. It was at least a strategy to try to stabilize this network. And instead of actually trying to work with the people that were trying to save the network, the people, I'm going to say, at WBAI went into this thing, filed lawsuits, the whole thing that happened. I'm not trying to recreate old wounds, but that is the obvious solution to this problem. I mean, content can be aired across the nation. And I'm not saying it has to be content from KPFA, but you can have content being aired on stations that are losing money, so that they don't need to have staff at those stations, don't need to have rent, don't need to have studios, at least till Pacifica is stabilized, because everyone says they want to save Pacifica, and then maybe we should refund and restart those stations. So that's my opinion of how things should be done. And I am done.
Right. Now. Do I enjoy the stack?
I appreciate it.
Hello, Dwayne. Let's hear from Dwayne. He hasn't spoken. He hasn't been here yet. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah, I've been listening. I just didn't chime in, didn't want to interrupt, and I hope I'm not interrupted.
I understand. No, you're not at all. Please.
No, I say I hope I'm not interrupted as I speak.
Oh. Oh.
yes, that's a preface, and hopefully show the same decorum and respect that has been received up to this point, because it was very difficult to listen to the previous speaker. I think for me, and certainly for those of you at WBAI, let me take this mask off. Certainly for those of you who at WBAI, I'm sure that it's very difficult to hear those words, because what it does is bring back old wounds. Well, those wounds are not that old. They're very fresh. And the speaker really reiterated the approach that was made on WBAI. And probably with that attitude, an approach will be made on every station that is perceived and real are not profitable. Now, staying profitable in a non-profit environment, I mean, that in itself should tell you that the mindset is inconsistent with the mission. And this victim, I'm a victim because you're taking something from me. There is no me. Or there should, now let me rephrase. There should be no me, no I, in the Pacifica Foundation concept. And I certainly don't believe Lou Hill, the founder, had this concept that, okay, you're strong, you never got any help over 50 years from any station in the history, and I'm sure the previous speaker really don't know 50 years of history as to whether or not FA ever received any help from other stations. But the larger point here is the attitude that profitability and repeat a station to bring it back, allow the foundation to come back. Listen, if you broadcast FA content in Houston or in D.C. or in New York, it tells me you know nothing about radio. And you certainly know nothing about community radio as to this is going to solve our problem or help us solve our problem, and then we're going to get on our feet. No, you're going to lose every listener you got because they're not interested, just like you wouldn't be interested if someone typed in WBAI's content into FA. So I realize this is not going to go away. I realize this attitude is really deep embedded. But what encourages me is it seemingly is not the majority mindset. And it seems as though we still have a maybe tacit, maybe small, I don't know how to measure it, but looking at the numbers that the previous referendum effort made, there are an overwhelming amount of majority who don't have that mindset in their foundation. And this me, and you're picking on us, and you're taking money from us. It's taking money from me. It's like a family member basically saying to the other four siblings, you know what? You're on your own because mom and dad, which is the foundation, allowed me to become a doctor, allowed me to become a scientist, allowed me to become a billionaire. I'm not your salvation, so stop sucking off of me. Well, I believe that is one way to destroy the foundation, and in the end, I think when you hear this mindset, it is that autonomous mindset. It is that I want to be on, let us break away. And we won't have to worry about you fashioning off of us, sucking us like a vampire. I pray to God that this seed of a mindset does not become the majority of us, that it remains a small one-fifth contingent of us, because it's already a destructive thought. But if it permeates this foundation, I guess in a way we're fortunate that three other stations are not doing so well, and one is not such a bad performer. That would be, in my opinion, PC. But we have one that is doing very well, And they take the mindset of rich folk in many cases. They take the mindset of folk who are doing well in the family, and that is, leave mine alone and go get your own. Thank you for listening. But I'm very hopeful that this disease will not permeate our foundation.
Our Paul for saying?
Thank you, Dwayne. Go ahead, our Paul.